Welcome to Connect and Grow Radio Show with your host, Jackie Grant. Happy Tuesday, everyone. So here we are, another day. I don't know about you, but it's like, where is this year going, right? Now, as a business owner, there's certain key points, you know, so every quarter we have to do the whole tax thing and that kind of thing. And it's kind of like, well, we're in that last quarter of our Australian financial year. Now, I know that different countries have their financial year at different times, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that say, all right, well, once we get to the next quarter done, we are in the next, you know, we're halfway through the year. And as the seasons change, I notice that, you know, it's a reminder of, well, we're heading into winter. It's got, you know, it's got a bit cooler. It's a little bit more rain. Here in Australia, we have this kind of thing of like, did we get summer? Like, depending on the state that you live in. I know that in Canada, when I visited Canada, the same thing happened, right? It's like, did we get summer? Like, I think it got hot on a couple of days. Now that's more of the Victoria, New South Wales have those kind of, those states or provinces have that conversation. But there's other parts of Australia that are hot, or what a lot of people term as hot, nearly all year round. Like, it just seems that their temperatures don't get very low. And when I say low, I mean like under 24 degrees Celsius. So just so we're really clear with our measurement. And they don't get like the 8 degrees, and they come over to our state and they go, oh man, like, you know, at 18, they're like, oh man, it's cold. Whereas we turn around and go, well, it's warming up. And I think that weather is one of those things that we acclimatize to, right? So some people go, I can only live in a place where it's hot. It's got to be hot all the time. And even with the heat, we know that there's different ways that heat presents itself. So there's that heat where it's really clammy and you know it feels like you're just perspiring all the time, and like that more moist heat. And then there's the dry heat, which makes you feel different again. And it's the same as the cold. Like, cold, you feel like, oh, you know, I need to rug up, or no, it's just a bit cool, I'll just put another layer of clothing on. Now, why am I talking about the weather? Like, what's that got to do with anything? And it's because as we go through the seasons of change, we also go through the seasons of like food changes, and we go through different changes that help us to adapt in our life. Now, today we have Kathy joining us. Kathy joined us last month as well, and we're aiming to make this a regular thing, that the first Tuesday of the month Kathy will join us. Now, for some of you that don't know, Kathy writes in our Connect and Grow magazine as well, and for March, Kathy shared with us a really yummy soup. Now, I have food intolerances, so the beauty of Kathy's recipe is I just went, oh, I can't actually add that onion, so I'm going to go without, you know, that ingredient. And then I had a bit of a play with it to find out whether I actually needed to add a little more of something else. And that's what I love about, and I'm going to bring Kathy on live in just a minute, but it's one of the things that I love about the people that work with me on the Connect and Grow magazine, is that every tip that they give you and every strategy they give you can be adapted to help you, the person, and not to be afraid of change, right? Not to be afraid of as life changes and weather changes, that we as people can change and we can adapt. So I'm going to just now welcome Kathy to the show. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Jackie. How are you? Happy Easter.
Thank you. Same to you. Did you have a good Easter?
Had a lovely Easter, thank you. Had the family down at our beach house, which was really lovely. So, yes, so we were playing with my 16-week-old granddaughter. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun all weekend.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was just sharing with the listeners, and for those of you that listen to the podcast, you know, you can also check out our live. You do need to follow us to get those alerts for the lives. But just about change and how your recipe for March, I gave it a go and I adapted it a little bit. And, you know, that's kind of the whole idea of nutrition, isn't it, is getting to know what's right for you.
Absolutely. I think a lot of what happens for a lot of people is that if they have a food intolerance and they go off to see someone like myself as a nutritionist, or they go to see a dietitian or somebody, they give them a set of rules and then they look at a recipe and they go, hey, I can't eat any of those sorts of, you know, there's this, that and the other that's in there, and they're all part of my food intolerances. So they're on my list that's been given to me by my nutritionist. Therefore, I can't adapt that recipe. I can't change it. Therefore, I can't make it. It's just not true, you know. The whole idea about recipes is that you can tweak them, you can change them, you can go, hey, okay, I can't eat onion, so I can leave that out, or I can use leek, or I can use, you know, maybe, or I can't eat garlic, so you could use garlic oil or something like that. So it's a matter of looking at things and being brave enough to change that recipe, to change, swap out things for various things. At Health 104, I've written a is where I work. So I've written a book, and the book is called The Swap Out Book.
And oh, in I the love swap it. Out,
yeah, it's fantastic. So I've put together, so if a recipe calls for eggs, what can we do instead of eggs? If it calls for onion, what can you do instead of onion? What things can you swap things out for? And it's called The Swap Out Book. And people can get in contact with me if they would like to purchase a copy of that. We can do that through the Health 104 website. So, yeah, it's a really, really good resource for people to have.
Oh, I love it.
And,
I love it.
And then you can be brave, right? So it's a matter of being brave with recipes, not just going, oh, I'm going to leave. I'm just not going to make that. I'm going to stick with what I've got, because things can be pretty boring if you just do that, eating the same things over and over.
And I think that, and this comes from my experience of when I was morbidly obese, it was like, you know, cut back your fats, cut back your sugars, cut back this, cut back that, and then exercise more. So basically what I've learned along the way since then, and we're talking that I was dealing with this for over 10 years, like, because the weight just doesn't come on, right? It just doesn't. You don't wake up in the morning and you're now 100 kilos heavier. It is a progressive thing. But one of the things I found was that in cutting, that actually there was two things. In cutting out a lot of foods, I then went, well, what can I eat, like you just said, and it was really easy to not just to easily give up, because it's like, oh, I can't have pizza, or I can't have this. The other thing was that my body started to feel deprived and my energy level dropped. So it became a whole mindset but physical reaction. And in the end, I could not release weight for the life of me, even if I just went on a fast, because my body started to go, no, we got to protect you. And it started to shut down and hold on to everything, because it's like you're starving us. So
exactly.
So
your
when
metabolism slows down, but many people find that, you know, if you have got food intolerances, it becomes, oh, I can't eat this and I can't eat that, therefore I won't eat. or you leave out huge food groups. And when you're doing that, you're missing out on those vital cofactors that actually allow for the energy cycle to work and allow for your metabolism to work and your thyroid hormones and everything that drives metabolism. And you have to get them. So when suddenly everyone says, oh, you're gluten-free or you can't eat carbs and you've got to cut the carbs out and all of these sorts of things, well, then those cofactors that allow all of those systems to work are no longer getting their nutrients. They're not getting the B vitamins or the, various vitamins and minerals that they need, molybdenum and, magnesium or manganese or all of these sorts of things, because you've cut those food groups out.
Yeah.
You're not getting them. And so therefore your energy levels will be depleted because your body can't work as it should work. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think too that a lot of people don't even know the questions to ask when they're seeing, because often when it comes to weight and that, often that conversation starts with either a family member or the GP. So the GP, you've gone into the GP because, I don't know, you've got an ache or a pain or you've got something, whatever reason you've landed there. And then the GP does your blood pressure, weighs you. And these are things that they have to do. Like, it's kind of like part of their job. And then they go, well, you need to lose some weight, which then starts that goal of releasing weight. Yeah. Isn't always about the nutrition side of things. It's more around your blood pressure's up or you've got your ankle pain is because of all the swelling in your legs, whatever. And so often people then go, all right, well, I'll go to the dietitian or whatever. But it's an external motivator.
Yeah, exactly. You're never going to do it unless you've got internal motivation. You've got to have a good reason why. It's like life, right? It's like any business. If you start a business, everybody goes, what's your why for going into business? Mm. What drives you to become, like in my case, a nutritionist? Or, and that was driven by the fact that I had to change my diet because of illness, and we had to learn what was right for that particular illness, because there's various foods that certain illnesses don't like, which is what I specialize in. So that wasn't the reason I got out of bed, was for my husband as well as myself, but mainly for my husband. So it's a matter of going, okay, so what is your why? Because once you have that internal motivator, that internal driver, then you will find the change in whatever you have to eat or your dietary regime doesn't end up feeling like deprivation or restriction or resentment, which is what we do. You go to you're on a special diet, you go out with your mates and they say, oh, let's go to this particular restaurant, and you know fully well that you can't eat anything at that particular restaurant. Because it's not on your diet, so therefore you become resentful to going out, and you feel deprived. So it doesn't last.
No,
it will not last. It will not be that if you don't have that internal motivator that is driven around health and around feeling better and around having more energy and sleeping better and feeling more attractive or whatever it is. If you don't have that, then it won't work. You'll lose the weight for a short length of time, put it all back on again, at plus 10% more, because that's how our body's designed. So that yo-yo diet.
It's a little bit like interest, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So your body goes, okay, you've deprived me of calories and we've lost weight, so we've put the calories now back in. We're back with calories, so we're going to grab hold of that. We're going to slow down by 10%, so we add on a little bit more weight just in case you decide to do it again. Mm. So in times of famine, right, our body's actually grabbing hold of anything it can just in case we go back into famine. And it's not the way. Mm. The old adage of eat more to lose weight, that's what you need to do.
Mm. Yeah. And so, having the right consultation.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's what I was going to say, to add you know, to have that consultation with the right person, that actually helps you to connect to what's right for you. Because even like with my intolerances, occasionally a tiny bit of onion or a tiny bit of garlic doesn't actually cause a problem, because it's one of those things that it's a sensitivity. It's not a full-on allergic reaction. And allergy. I think, could you speak to that a little bit, Cathy? But, you know, allergy versus sensitivity, because I think sometimes people think that, I had this reaction, therefore I can't have it. But it could be, you know, gut health isn't the best or something, and that's why it happened. Or, yeah, could you talk to that a little bit, please?
Yeah, sure. So what we, it's like Panadol. Panadol, we can all, you know, you take two Panadol and you take them every 4 hours, and you're not to take any more than sort of 6 to 8 in any given day. The devil's in the dose. So if you take more than that, you're going to have a reaction. So it's a bit like what you're talking about is that the devil is in the dose. So if I went and ate a whole onion, you had onion soup, which is full of onions and garlic, then you're going to have a massive reaction to that, because that's your gut microbiome not being able to tolerate the various sulfurs that are in it or the nutrients that are in it. You're having a reaction. The devil's in the dose. It's too much for your particular system. So it's not an IgE reaction, for instance, which is when, say, you have an anaphylaxis. So let's look at bee stings. We know that if you get stung by a bee, you can become anaphylaxis to that. So that bee poison, the sting that goes into the venom that goes into your bloodstream causes this massive immune reaction. And you have an IgE reaction to it, and therefore you become extremely sick and everything closes, you know, your closes down basically. You know, you swell and your airways swell and you end up in great big trouble. So that's a completely different reaction within the body than just having an intolerance to something. It just means that your gut microbiome doesn't like it. That if I had too much of it, things could be a lot worse. But it's all about the dosage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So thank you for sharing that. So if somebody was finding that they have a sensitivity to certain foods, and it could even be, you know, the foods that are in a particular grouping, such as the lactose, the fructose, or fructose, whatever language you want to use, or the gluten.
Yep.
Spending time with somebody like yourself can actually help, you know, obviously bring whatever test results they have or anything like that, but they could actually spend some time with you to help understand it a little more. But also over time, like if gut health improves, it could mean that they can have a little bit of it and it still be okay, or it might still stay the 100%. Same, you know, best not to have it. Like,
yeah, 100%. So when we lose tolerance, it's usually due to some sort of leaky gut issues. So there's something going on within your gut that is causing an immune response, which is the immune system causing like bloating and pain in your gut or things like that. So my question usually to most people is were you born like this? Have you never been able in your life as a child, were you never able to eat onion or garlic or red pepper or cucumber or whatever it is? So you sit down and once you get that history, you go, okay, well, as a child, you were able to eat this. So something's gone wrong within our gut microbiome, within our absorption, within the lining of the gut. Maybe we've got leaky gut. So if we go back and we take out those particular offending foods, we heal the gut the best way we can. We make a very diverse gut microbiome. So we use lots of veggies. Then we can heal whatever it is that has caused this issue. Once we've healed it, we can then put those things back in, and you will then see whether you've actually ended up with an intolerance that's going to be for life, or you've healed it. Many patients, I had a patient once who came to see me, never able to eat cucumber. Every time he ate cucumber, he was violently ill. So he'd eat cucumber. So we did a lot of work on his gut microbiome, healed his leaky gut, did all of those sorts of things, and now he can eat cucumber without a problem. So
it's, oh, that's awesome.
And it's really interesting. Yeah, so it can take, and it takes anywhere between, so your gut lining, the lining of the gut, will replenish itself anywhere between 5 to 7 days. So every 5 to 7 days, you're getting a new gut lining. So what we need to do then is what
I never knew that.
Yeah, so what we tend to do is we like to have 3 new gut linings, because it helps. The same with the liver. Mm-hmm. The liver regenerates itself every sort of 33 days. So depending on the size of the liver. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing that and doing a liver cleanse, for instance, you want to do two cycles, because that way the daughter cells, so you heal whatever it is, and then when the gut mm-hmm. lining or the liver, for instance, replenishes itself, it'll replenish itself with the same cells that were already there. So if we've healed everything,
right?
So you heal everything, you want 2 to 3, 4 sort of times. So now it's replacing itself with healthy cells, you know, it's replicating the healthy cells, not the sick cells. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's giving the time for the new cells to stabilize a little bit and become the new, inverted commas, norm. Is that right?
Correct. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So you stay within the diet. So when we're doing a gut microbiome, you know, we're doing healing like that, we would like to see people do it for at least 21 days, because that's 3 new gut linings.
Well, really, when you think about it, 21 days out of a lifetime of, and having that. No, that's right. It's like that opportunity to go, just for the next mm-hmm. month, I'm dedicated to this, and then we'll see where we're at. And who knows, maybe I can have my, Bunnings sausage with onion instead of without, like for those that like
not their that sausages I would recommend on a Saturday that, at Bunnings. At all. Would no, never recommend
I know,
that ever.
I know.
But all that but, fat and gluten, all
no,
of
No, I know. I know, but, you know, there are people out there that actually really look forward to that. So, you know, let's let them have their thing. Yeah, yeah. We are not telling you what to eat as such.
No. When we're talking about onions too, it's the middle section. So anybody who has an issue with onion, if you cut them open and take out the middle section of them, the bit that's going to sprout, so you put your knife underneath it and you pop that out, and you do it with garlic as well. You cut a garlic clove in half, the bit mm-hmm. that's going to sprout, you bring that out. That's where all the nutrients are that cause you the issue.
Right.
So if you take that out and you're only using the outer leaves of the onion or the outer leaves of the garlic, the outer sort of area of the garlic, mm-hmm. the clove, and not that bit that sprouts, then you don't have any problem, because you're getting rid of all of the things that cause you the problem.
Oh, so you get that bit of flavor. Yeah, I'm going to give that a go. Because I do miss onion at times.
Yeah, yeah. But remember, though, that the devil's in the dose. So if you decided, right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get an onion, I'm going to take out the bit that sprouts, and now what you only want to do is only use, say, 1/4 of it and put that into your food, because we need to build your body up to accepting it again.
Yeah, and sometimes it can make the biggest difference is that just that little bit of extra flavor that's in there.
Yeah.
Like it's just a tiny bit that can make the world of difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it has beautiful nutrients in them, onions. Mm. I mean, they're so good as for your immune system, and we're coming as an immune system boost, and we're coming into winter. We need lots of really good onion around at the moment, because they are very, very healthy for us.
Mm. I was looking at where I get my seeds from, because I like to get seeds that will have more than one lifespan, so to speak. So those that produce other seeds, like tomatoes and that, I was looking at those to go, right, which ones do I want to do? And I'm sitting there thinking, do I want to order any onion or not, like, to grow that, because I'm actually planting my veggie patch. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to give in to the fact that, you know, I can never have onion again, because I don't have that anaphylactic reaction to it. But I'm going to just do a little bit, and if it doesn't work, then that's okay. But I also think too, stress is something that causes so many adverse reactions in our body, that sometimes when we're anxious or stressed or whatever, it's impacting our gut, and like certain things on certain days just don't work. And it's having that bigger awareness, that holistic awareness, that I think is really important.
100%. So there's two things that cause leaky gut. Right. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the gut, one of them is gluten or gliadin, the protein found in wheat, barley, and rye. That is going to cause those gap junctions to actually open, which will cause an immune system reaction, which causes bloating and pain and those horrible feelings that we get in our gut. Mm. So that's one thing. The other thing, that because zonulin gets released, and when zonulin is actually released, that's what causes the leaky gut. And it's zonulin gets released whenever gliadin is present.
Right.
So the interesting thing about that, though, is what else causes a leaky gut? Those zonulin to be released, which will cause the gap junctions to open. And the only other thing that does it is high levels of cortisol.
Mm.
Where do we get cortisol from? It's our stress hormone. So anytime we are stressed, we are getting a leaky gut.
Yeah.
So hence, once we have that leaky gut, your body sees when it comes down and it gets the undigested food particles hit the bloodstream, you are going to get an immune reaction to it. You're going to get bloating. You're going to get all of these issues going on. So that's the major issue with stress. Is people go, it's like, you know, as soon as you stress, you feel it in your gut, you know. So some people have get constipation when they're stressed. Other people get diarrhea when they're stressed. And this is all what's going on.
Mm. Mm.
It's interesting.
And
we talk about
100%. And we talk about in the magazine seen a lot, and those people that have followed me for years and years know that I talk a lot about the connection of mind and body and soul, you know, that whole connection. But we could probably talk on this all day. but Kathy,
more than likely.
Do you want to give people and I've noticed here that my signal on my internet's a little poor, so I think we've got a slight delay. But would you like to share with the audience, whether I'm listening live or listening to the recording later on in the day or in the months to come, what give us a sneak peek at what we can expect in Connect and Grow magazine for April? I haven't actually read your article yet because it's on my to-do list. So do you want to give us all a bit of a sneak peek at what we expect?
Yes, well, actually, I really enjoyed writing the article for April, because it's all about embracing our unique selves. So connection with family and nutrition. So I think we're going about how, when it comes to being your dietary regime, which is a little bit what you talked about when we first, when you first opened, when you talk about your dietary regime, it's probably the first thing, whenever you're stressed, it's the first thing that goes out the window is your diet. And you go, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to get in the kitchen and cook. I'm too busy to eat really good nutrients. So, and I've got an intolerance to various things. So I'm just going to eat, you know, whatever can keep, feels that you can sustain for a while. Well, when it comes to being our unique selves, when we decide that, yes, like that internal motivator, yes, I'm going to change my diet. I want to do things differently. I want to be healthy for whatever reasons that you've got. That's great. However, when you actually then go to a family function, if you go to out to dinner with friends and you go, oh, actually, I can't eat this, or I've chosen to go plant-based for a month, and but the restaurant we're going to serves nothing but meat, or the family are having a roast and they've invited you around for a roast, but you've decided not to eat meat for a week, for a month or something like that. We stop honoring our unique selves. We stop doing that. We decide, no, the other people around us are more important than ourselves. So we lose that connection with ourselves. We lose that connection with the promise that we've made to ourselves. And this can cause enormous amount of stress to certain people. So we found that, I found that myself when I decided to go plant-based and eat plant-based, the family stopped inviting us around for dinner.
Right.
So, because they were all going to have roast for dinner. And we didn't eat the roast. And I'd sit and say to them, but what are you eating with the roast? And they would go, oh, well, we've got roasted veggies. And I said, why can't we just eat the veggies?
Yeah.
You know? But we had to be really strong on that. So just put extra vegetables or extra potatoes on for us, and we'll bring a salad to go with it, and we will have veggies and salad. And that's when the family began to go, oh, okay, well, they're not that strange.
You know, yeah,
but it's so once we choose to have, say, a plant-based lifestyle, it's both empowering but it's challenging, and you need to make a decision to honor who you are and to how you can be unique and what you can actually do. So that's what this article is all about, is about once you decide to change something, how do you do it? And the other thing is the April recipe is an absolute winner.
Yeah.
So it's a plant-based lentil and vegetable shepherd's pie. So we're coming into winter, shepherd's pie, delicious, right? Really, really yum. But instead of using minced meat or lamb or whatever you're going to use, you can do it with lentils. So this is one of those swap out recipes.
Yeah,
I'd like to make shepherd's pie for everybody, but no, this is a swap out. How do I make it? And it will, and it's absolutely delicious. It's a great, great recipe.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, so that's what April's all about: how to honor yourself and honor you to be unique when you're using nutrition to about your diet. You know, we all want to go, you know, I've got my certain style that I wear. When I choose my clothes, and everybody who knows me knows that she'll always be in black. So that's my style, is black. So, but, and no one comments on it, you know?
No.
No one comments, and they're very accepting of it. But, and if you were to say, what do you know about Kathy? And you go, oh, well, she loves wearing black. That's okay, and that's acceptable. But when we go, oh, well, what else do you know? And, oh, well, she eats plant-based. She's weird, you know. There's something wrong with her because she eats plant-based and she works as a plant-based nutritionist and all of these sorts of things. I use food as medicine, really. I do occasionally do other things. But it's really that's uniquely me, but somehow people feel that they can comment on it.
Yes. It's the same as people feel that they can comment about, oh, you've lost some weight, you're looking too skinny, or you've gained some weight, so you're looking too fat, or, you know, like Yeah, I remember many years ago, I was, instead of shaving my head for the world's greatest shave, I coloured it. And I went into the hairdresser and I said, I'm raising this money and I've approved it at work that I can colour my hair, and I want to really make a statement. So I want rainbow, as much as we can get for rainbow, please. And I cleared it with work because, you know, it was a workplace thing and nobody colored their hair outside of covering the gray. So it was the traditional colors. Anyway, so the hairdresser did her thing and off I went to work. We raised, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000, which was really cool. And everybody was like, oh, wow, you're different. Oh, wow. Now, like, you know, 10 years on, that is not so different. And I think that if we can start to normalize things, and I did a video this morning, which is up on my LinkedIn account, and I'm debating, I think we're loading it onto TikTok as well, because it's Autism Awareness Month. And as someone that has ASD traits and ADHD traits, as I like to call them, because I try to move away from as many labels as possible. They're great for diagnostics. They're great for identity in the sense of, oh, this is the pathway we go, but let's look at the whole person. And that's one of the reasons I chose that uniqueness topic, because we are all unique. And if we can start to normalize that people eat differently, just as people dress differently, just as people process information differently. All it is different.
Yeah. One thing that I've said here is that, you know, when we decide to eat differently, we are going to be, you're navigating uncharted territory and you are facing skepticism from friends, family, and strangers. And your dietary choices will be met with raised eyebrows, questions, and sometimes outright resistance. Yet staying true to ourselves and our beliefs is essential for honoring our unique selves. And it's the only, it's that bit there, is staying true to our own beliefs, our values, and who we are is essential to honoring who we are. And it's about having that conviction to stand firm, having that courage to stand firm to those convictions that will enable us to live a very happy and fulfilled life and to be our unique selves. And the more we start doing that, the more society will stop looking and labeling people who have different opinions or process things differently or, you know, as you rightly, you know, wear different clothes, whatever it is, you know, wear your hair in 17 different colors. Fantastic. Why not? You know,
yeah,
it's great. Yeah. So it's, I think that that's really, really important to really start believing in. It was once said to me, oh, this is when we went plant-based, it was said, we've been plant-based now for 15 years.
Right.
So it was people, but when we first did it, we had members of our family say to me, oh, this is a fad.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be back.
Yep.
And it was like, so, you know, oh, you dear little things, this is, you'll be back. And I said, well, why would we ever do that when this is what keeps my husband alive?
Yeah. Yeah. Why would we change that?
Why would I change this when this is what keeps my husband alive? You know, if we go back, then there's every possibility that he's not going to have the length of life and the quality of life that we want him to have. So why would I do that? And they were really shocked when I said this, and because I kind of said, well, you've just insulted me by saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never said it again.
So speaking up, but it was, but I think that the thing too is that, you know, it's all about the self-love and the respect of self, of body, of mind. Yeah. I mean, because we do know out there in the world, people do make choices that are not healthy and not in their best interest. And we can understand, interventions and stepping in when it's an unhealthy choice. Yeah. But when it's all about, as you said, you got into it because of your husband and what was going on for him, and that's really all about that family connection, that family support, and what can we do so that we can have a quality life together as well as individuals.
Yeah, exactly. It's honouring your own values. And one of the things I often do with some of my patients is when they come in, it depends upon they go, oh, I want to change my diet. I want you to tell me what to eat. But then I have to sit back and I need to look at them and I go, why? Why do you want that? Why are we changing your diet? Tell me more about this. And actually, I've got one particular patient who wanted me to change, renovate the diet, as I like to call it. but I said to her, no, we need to do so much more work on your why and who you are and what your beliefs are. Otherwise, you're going to sit in my office. I'm going to give you a diet. You're going to go away. It's going to be way too hard. You're going to come back and or you're going to say to people, oh, I'm never got, don't go and see her. It doesn't work.
Mm.
But once we get down to your values, who you are, why you're doing this, and we explore all of that avenues, which is a really exciting journey, once we actually do that, then I have you sit in my office and you actually say to me, oh, I can't wait to try this new diet, because everything you're doing is awakening all your own sense of value and belief and empowerment within yourself, all of those sorts of things. Then you're like, yes, and now I can change my diet. And so when someone says to you, oh, you know, raises their eyebrow at the way you're choosing to eat now, or then you can stand strong in who you are. And that's what's most important, I find.
Yes, so true. Your the article that you wrote in the Connect and Grow magazine has had over 800 views online. So, we know that people are now starting to engage with the magazine a bit more, and we aim to, you know, we're going to start this month. It's called Shining the Light on the Businesses that choose to advertise and be part of the magazine. And as we grow, we'll obviously be shining the light on more people. But one of the things that I found with the magazine, and this applies to the nutrition changes as well, is that, you know, I got, you know, totally connected with my why.